Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance by my pals, Brian Svensson.
I'm going to try to keep it more low-key this time. Hello.
And on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
I'll even go another 2 meters away from Brian.
Well, you know, that's probably a smart idea regardless.
It's right now, Winnipeg right numbers. Now, let's.
Well, Canada in general, but yes, Winnipeg is on fire, unfortunately, right now.
Let's smarten up out there, people. Let's smarten up out there.
I'll tell you this: gone are the days of zero numbers in Winnipeg or Manitoba. So yes, it's unfortunately it's the second wave here, and yes, people should try and do their part.
Our numbers are growing like the Dodgers' first inning in game. Game three.
You know what, Michael? I'll say this. You're right about this. I missed it too. I turned it on the second inning and it was 11-0 or whatever. And you're right. I did a double take. I did not see that coming. And mind you, all that said is you can hit 100 runs and it's only one win in a series.
This is, I mean, the Dodgers since I think it was the fifth inning of game two. Have out up till tonight. We're recording this Thursday night, and as of right now, Atlanta's 8-2 in the bottom of the seventh. But in 2.5 games, they were out hitting them like 25-1, something like that. It's like some bonkers number. Speaking of bonkers numbers, Arozarena. Randy Arozarena.
I'm glad you pronounced that. I was going to butcher that so badly.
Yeah.
Arozarena.
I went and looked up the pronunciation guide from the media guide because I was like, I gotta nail this one.
Good job.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. But like, no one saw this. Like, I had to like
no one
pronounce this name because no one saw this coming.
Well, no. I mean, this guy is. Yes, he's the – I'm trying to think who – it's more in hockey where this happens where you get a phenom in the playoffs a bit, but it's happened in baseball too. But, yeah, he's just kind of a meteorite just helping out the Rays there. I've got to be honest.
It's just classic Rays, right, that just pulls some dude out of nowhere.
Right, literally you would see this guy if you pulled his card – out of like, you know, a pack of, you know, baseball cards, you just like, see you later.
Keep on going. Yeah.
It might just be like a picture. He might not even have a minor league team. No,
right.
Actually,
it might not even be a card, right? He might be the stick of gum. It's hard to say.
He was in the card system, right? And so it might not even be him in a Rays jersey.
Fair enough. It is crazy. It is crazy. Yeah, right. Brian's totally right. This is the Rays MO, right? They find these players, they kind of salvage them a bit, or they get them in their system, and somehow they produce.
To your question, Randy Arozarena does in fact have a Topps card, and it is with the Cardinals in 2020.
How much would that set me back if I'm looking to purchase one of those?
Probably not a lot right now.
Probably 25 cents. Maybe went up to 50 now.
I'm going to check it out. We're going to keep going. Keep talking. Yeah, I'll find out
30 minutes, Brian. By the time we're finished, we should have that. I will say this, and again, unless you're an Astros fan, no one's cheering for them, right? They're the Miami Heat 2011 edition here, right? But they had a stat on the TV, which I found surprising. They are only the fourth team ever to come back from 3-0 to make it to a game six in every series. That's a phenomenal number. I mean, and one of those was the epic Boston Red Sox in 2004, where they came back all the way.
With the Yanks, yeah.
Yeah. So it's rarefied air.
Yeah. If that's the company they're keeping.
Let's remind my old man about that series again, the Boston Red Sox coming back. Love you, Pops. To answer your question, the Topps 2020 base card is literally going for a cent on eBay right now.
Oh, so I was
suggested 10 cents on Beckett's.
So my two bits was actually too high.
Yeah, the autograph version of the card going for $150.
No, come on.
Yeah, the refractor version, which is like kind of like a shiny version of it, it's going for about $16.50. You can get a 5-stack of his rookie card from Bowman Chrome, which is like the premier, the upscale, very fancy card set. You can get a 5-stack for $12.50.
All right. Well,
there you go.
If he keeps on going, those prices might go up. We'll see here, but it is pretty ridiculous because if I'm not mistaken, I think he already has 5 home runs. And he's only one behind the rookie record of 6 hit in the postseason by a rookie.
Right. He has three in the 5 games of the ALCS. Not only is he one homer behind, he's 2 hits shy of tying Derek Jeter's postseason record of 22 set by a rookie set in 1996.
Oh, wow.
Did not know that. Provided
the Rays managed to hang on here against the Astros and
I really hope take a dance so. In the World Please, Series,
he's
on,
got a
Rays.
Good chance of smashing.
Now, Jay's Jeter fans would say he had an extra 2 games here already.
Yeah, but imagine actually cheering for Derek Jeter.
It's like cheering for apple pie. Come on. What are you talking about?
No. It's like cheering for potato salad.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. But anyways,
coleslaw.
I will say this. What the Astros are doing really gets me worried now, right? Because they had the walk-off home run as we're taping this on Thursday by Chuck Correa and Carlos.
Chuck.
Carlos and
you call him Chuck because you met him once, is that
that's right? Yeah, me and him, we go way back. And he actually, what I was trying, the joke was gonna be Chick Corea, it needed to be Chick Corea, was actually what I was looking for. Anyways, look that up, people. He was a famous musician back in the day. But that walk off home run. It was another great game. Like both these series have been spectacular in different ways. Again, this is why, I mean, if you don't watch baseball, this is why you watch baseball in October. It's always provides entertainment and drama. It's fantastic.
With this like compressed series, like where they're doing like games, it's coming so fast and furious. It's like, wait, didn't that just happen? And it was like, yeah. Oh, that was game one. Right. That was 3 days ago.
So that game game three, I mean, this is how crazy it is. That game three with the Dodgers had, where they had 11 runs in the first inning, 10 of them were after 2 outs were already done. You know, we would have had a game at least pause, maybe even 2 games, depending if there was travel or whatever. And instead, they just keep playing them back to back, like a next game, the next day. So tomorrow, if you listen to this on Friday, there's 2 more games. And if somehow the Astros win and let's say if the Dodgers, the Dodgers come back tonight, or if they win game five, there'll be another two games on Saturday. This compressed schedule is exactly what you're saying, Michael. It's pretty insane, because even if you're like a baseball nut, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, it's been really hard to keep up. Like, we're all baseball nuts, and we can all probably freely admit that it is tough. It's been tough to keep up with this.
Well, these games, some of them like starting a little earlier, I'm not able to catch all of, you know, like a game done by the time I sit down to watch it. I'm like, oh my god, like, wait,
I'm not home until 4 sometimes. Like, I straight up have just missed games.
yeah totally. And in the flip side, then there's some games that have gone late, right? Because they've started and then they, you know, they've gone into extra innings or whatever, or they've just had a later start time. So I mean, yeah, that said, is somewhere in there you can catch something, right? Like, as we're taping this right now, there's still a game going on, right? So it's been, I mean, the crazy thing about this is we still can have a series right now. It's still wide open. It could still be any one of the four combinations, right? So I mean, let's say this, we're all pulling that for the Rays somewhere. Win one of these next two games, please.
Yeah I would really please. Like it if by the time the podcast is up for this episode, that the Rays have already punched their ticket.
I hope so. I hate the Astros.
There's something about it. I will say,
I know, this, we established only, just how much when you put them above the Yankees on your power list.
I will say this. Only redeeming quality, and I think we've already said this before, and it was tonight when Correa hit the home run, is Dusty Baker. I will give credit. I mean, I wish he just was managing a different team, because it'd be great if he won one. But that said, I'll give him credit also of his gutsy move in game four there, where he kept in Zach Greinke, where most managers, when they're walking out there, I believe he was in the sixth inning, you know, they're yanking him, right? All the analytics are saying, you know, that's the third time around and, you know, we're going to pull him. He stuck with them. They had the Rays had, I believe, two on base, if I'm not mistaken, at the time there. And Greinke pitched out of it and kind of rewarded the manager for giving him the confidence, right, to stay in there. So you don't see that too often. He's definitely old school. So, I mean, there's a little part of me that I like Dusty Baker. I've always, you know, I think, you know, especially, I don't know if you remember this, where he grabbed his kid. Was it, I don't know if he grabbed it, but was it his kid, like, when he was a Giants manager? Am I going back a bit about this? Am I correct about that? He had was his kid was the bat boy at when the World Series was going on and almost got run over at home plate? Does anyone recall that?
No, I don't.
I'm blanking on that. I'm going to have to
look that up. Look that up, Brian, after the Topps thing, and see if I'm talking out of my butt here. But I think that's true. Anyways, Dusty Baker is just old school. You know, he was a player back in the 60s, 70s, and he's managed forever. And, you know, so they kind of needed a manager this year, and he stepped up. And so that's my only reason.
Yeah, he kind of got, you know, I mean, after they, like, set the field on fire with the poor apologies and things like that.
Sure.
He kind of came in and had to act as fireman. And so he was put in a pretty untenable spot, and he is a, like, historically good guy.
Yeah.
So I don't have any ill will towards Dusty. And in fact, I think it wasn't he one of the first managers that you could hear, like, shit talking from the dugout in the, like, no, because there was, like, no sound.
Oh. Yeah. I mean,
in the Dodger Astro game that, like, ended up
the Joe Kelly one. Yeah,
Joe Kelly game. Yeah. I think
he said some
Dusty
pretty
Baker
pretty gross explicit things to Joe Kelly. I don't know. I've never really had any love for Dusty Baker because of how he deals with and treats
handles the bullpen
pitchers. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Dusty Baker's, and how he completely ignores sabermetrics. I just.
The pitcher okay, he so left I in, just, though, I do have a soft spot for Greinke.
And yeah,
he,
you know
he
what?
Back to, like, his SI piece when he was with the Royals.
And... Oh, I love Greinke. He's hilarious. He's one of the most interesting people in baseball. I've told this story on here before, the quoted story about when he got called up to the big leagues and how he told his manager, like, well, do you think if I, like, went down to the bottom and started again that I could just make it as a shortstop, because I just feel like I could make it as a shortstop? And it's like, no, you just got called up to, like, the big leagues, dude. He's like, yeah, but I really feel like I can make it as a shortstop. He's great. He's really funny. Well, that time he stood up and called out his teammates for not washing their hands after going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he actually just called out his former manager just last night after the game. He kind of said, you know, he was happy that Dusty gave him the confidence. He provided confidence.
And then he said that he
hadn't really seen that, you know, in the past. Like, it's kind of weird with the Astros. He's supposed to be one of the aces. Obviously, he's there. You know, Verlander's not pitching this year, right? But yeah, I mean, Greinke, again, we're always about characters in the game, right? More of that can only enhance the game, I think. It's never a detriment. And I will say, I just looked this up. JT Snow swoops up Dusty Baker's son in the 2002 World Series Game 5. I was right about this, is that his son was very young at the time, was the bat boy, and he was picking up the bat as the play was going on. And so JT Snow actually swoops up the sun as he's crossing home plate. If people haven't seen
it, I have seen that.
Check it out. It's a
next level save by JT Snow getting the kid out of there.
It is, because he's literally, it's as the game, it's a very important point in the game. And, you know, he's coming in for a run. And I think as he's running, he kind of one hand picks up Dusty's kid. It's phenomenal.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, if anyone hasn't seen that, by all means, go to YouTube and watch that for 30 seconds or so.
So just looking at the stats from Game 5 here, the Astros win over the Rays on Thursday. George Springer, first pitch leadoff homer in this game. Moves him, his 19th career postseason homer, moves him to the top of the Astros franchise leaderboard. It ties him with Albert Pujols for fourth on the all-time playoff home run list. And with one more, he would be tied in third place with Jeter. Another Jeter record, possibly, or you know, a little someone breathing down Jeter's neck historically here.
Well, I don't like this one, because even though I don't like Jeter, I don't like the Astros. So
no, I will say this.
Get out of here with that garbage.
You want to hear some garbage here. This is either fake news or, you know, believe what you need to believe. But I'm just reading a story just as we're talking here about Carlos Correa plays hero for Houston Astros, right? No, but here's the kicker is that he said he called the shot. Baker said, this is what Dusty Baker says. He says it was a crucial hit, big surprise. And he goes, I mean, Carlos told me before he went up there, he goes, walk off. And I said, go ahead, man. And I'm like, okay, like, so that's not quite Babe Ruth.
That's not
right?
Calling your shot.
Like, really? That's like, no, but the headline
we
is
need
Korea
to win this.
Calls walk-off home run. I'm going to end it. Well, exactly.
It's
Brian,
if the Rays win,
pretty well.
If the Rays win, like, that's it for you guys. So, yeah, you need a homer to, like.
Oh, so in Correa says, he goes, wow, this feels good. He goes, so when I went into that at-bat, I told Jose Altuve walking off the field, I said, I'm going to end it. Well, yeah, okay, whatever.
Man,
see, because
I hate the Astros.
Not only that, because I think where there's a level more hatred right now is because there seems to be no they're reveling in this a bit.
Oh, right? Yeah, like, they've got the, like, the everyone hates us, like, locker.
Right, but again,
material.
If you didn't cheat, then you wouldn't have had all this heat on you. You know what I mean? Like this is where I just don't, especially because of the core still there, right? It's not like it's just a bunch of, you know, guys just playing for the Astros now. Like, all the main culprits are all there, and they all, you know, feign no remorse for this. And yet, unfortunately, and I guess this is 2020, they get rewarded by they're only two games away now, going back to the World Series.
I hate the Astros.
And if they do it, not only that, they'd be only the second team ever to come back from 3-0. I mean, let's hope when we're talking next week that we're not talking about the Astros in the World Series.
Well, I'll tell you what I am going to be talking about tomorrow regardless.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw continuing to be a postseason boss.
This
is unreal,
right?
At this point in time, he is the greatest pitcher of a generation. He is the probably the best pitcher of the last 10 years, and the man cannot pitch in the playoffs. Currently sitting on a 7.20, 7.2 ERA. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I hate to be the apologist about it, but he did pitch. He had one good game earlier in this playoff,
the division series.
But yeah. His best is not. You know,
it just makes me so sad.
It is, because you want this guy to sort of, he's done everything except do what he should be doing in the postseason, right? Because there's just players. You know, I mean, you like him or not, but someone like Curt Schilling, right? Who, again, is borderline HOF, right? But you cannot deny what he did in the postseason.
He's also borderline POS.
Yeah, that's another story. But leave that aside. I'm just talking on the field, right? Not off the field, Mike.
That was nice.
Thank you.
Well done. So, but you know what I'm saying? But, you know, Andy Pettitte is another one, right? These guys were just they you wanted to give them the ball in the postseason. They were going to give you a solid outing. They were usually going to give you wins. And for some reason, Clayton Kershaw you're totally right, Brian. He just cannot come up. Like, this was the game. Right here, it was all set up. He had a back spasm. He was delayed at game four. They needed this win. He comes out and he becomes the ace. If he's the ace, he's getting outpitched by – who's the guy? Who's the Braves guy? Is some I'm right or whatever? Right, he's getting outpitched by a guy that pretty much no one knows about, other than some baseball people in the know. But he's not Clayton Kershaw. You know what I mean? Like, Clayton Kershaw going to the Hall of Fame. If they're gonna win,
100% going to the Hall of Fame. That doesn't stop the fact that it's brutal to watch every single year, man. Every single year, because they're in the playoffs every single year, and he just collapses. And I don't get it, man. I don't understand it. It hurts because I really like Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, well, alone, just what he does with the glove all the time. Have you ever noticed that, what he does with his glove? Like, he puts this, like, he has all the fingers out, like, really big because, he wants to hide the ball. And it just doesn't work in the postseason for whatever reason. He just can't get it done.
I don't know. It's baffling. It's mind-boggling.
Hey, hold on one second. What ERA were you giving out?
This year it's 7.20, right?
Oh, this year I said, okay, because I was looking at his career. You know, the funny thing about this, in his career, right, for postseason, and it's not counting today's game. So it'll be 11 and 12. But he had a 4.23 ERA, which still is not good, right? But yeah, I mean, it's just that his level, he shouldn't be a 500 pitcher in the postseason. Just, if you're the ace, you're the number one guy. You have
playing on arguably the best team of the last decade.
Right, and you had to win this game.
No reason.
Right, and because this game, if they don't come back and win this series, it's an utter failure by the Dodgers this year. I mean, it was all set up from this year. It's a shortened season. They got Mookie Betts. They have pretty much everyone came back. They were rolling along. And no offense to the Atlanta Braves, but they're not losing. You know what I mean? They're not losing to the 1960 Yankees. You know what
game
I mean?
Three, like drubbing in the first inning. Like, that's kind of what you expect from the Dodgers all the time right now, with the caliber of hitters they have.
Yeah,
they should. Their lineup 1-9 is as solid as any. I mean, that might be the best lineup there. But again, for whatever reason, it looks like they're going to come up short again.
So Bryce Wilson was the kid who took the field for Atlanta.
I know.
Bryce with an S.
With B-R-Y-S-E.
Yeah.
So strange.
So, I mean, whatever we got to say to his parents about that, 22-year-old had posted a 4.4 ERA and 7 career starts made at the big league level. 2 of those starts were made this year, and both came during the final 6 days of the regular season. And that's who they handed the ball to, and that's who gave up 1 hit and 1 run while recording 5 strikeouts.
That's crazy.
This is, I mean, like, we were talking about the Atlanta's pitching last week, I think, even, and just about how, like, you know, we kind of expected it from one or two of the guys, but like that they're getting it from a lot of pitchers, you know, that bullpen especially, but just kind of up and down. None of the pitchers who had these like gaudy ERAs during the regular season are getting lit in this postseason. Other than, I mean, obviously, yes, the game three.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I just saw the stat here. If the Dodgers go down 3-1 in the series, it's a huge mountain to climb, as sort of Astros are doing. 85% win ratio for the team that's up 3-1 throughout the history of MLB. So, I mean, the Dodgers are just digging themselves a big hole here to get out of if they lose game five.
Unreal. Unreal.
Game four, sorry. Game four. It's crazy. Like, these games are so fast. I can't remember what games were in here because there's a stagger of the AL and the NL, right? But
yeah,
it's kind of weird too.
Game behind on the NL.
That's right. So it's kind of weird. And if I'm right here, there's fans in the NL park that's in Texas, but the AL park is in San Diego and there isn't any fans, correct? Is that
right? California has no,
yeah, that's right, because they have different restrictions. Sure. It's just weird a bit because if people want to do, go for it, but I count me as not going to be at any stands anytime soon for a while here. I know everyone wants to see baseball and stuff, but do you really need to see it that bad? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a big question. Before we go, we unfortunately have to pour another one out.
Yeah.
I mean, this one, I for whatever I thought of him as a broadcaster, unquestionably
best second baseman of all time.
Great player, best second baseman of all time. Joe Morgan passed away between last episode and this one.
It's so funny.
Big red machine.
Funny. Like, you take a look at his career stats, right?
World Series MVP back-to-back, right, I think?
Just a back-to-back MVP, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was World Series MVP. I think he was just back-to-back MVP. But it's real funny to look at – go and read his stats and, like, look at the type of player that he was, right? And then listen to his broadcasting days about how he completely railed against, sabermetrics. But here's a guy that was short, probably overlooked because of the way his body shape and the way he looked, that just got on base like a madman, didn't strike out all that much, and drew walks. You know, the guy was
sabermetrics would have loved him.
Dream. Sabermetric dream player. And you know, he spent most of his broadcasting career just talking about how it didn't make any sense. It was really funny.
Well, yeah. For the longest time, like, I mean, obviously, you know, I wasn't even born when he was on the Big Red Machine. I have subsequently, like, read, you know, Joe Posnanski's great book about that team. Knew him as this broadcaster, and then really knew him as
Fire Joe Morgan.
Joe Morgan of Fire Joe Morgan. Right?
Yeah. Like, same.
Like the figurehead for bully pulpit, wrong-headed announcers on baseball who hated stats.
Yeah. I mean, mind you, his playing career, I was just looking this up, 10-time All-Star, 2-time MVP, 2-time World Series,
yeah,
5-time Gold Glove, All-Star, dude. MVP.
Bananas.
I mean, it's crazy. You just don't, like, yeah, I mean.
The best second baseman ever.
And he was successful, like, both on the Astros and the Reds. So, like, it wasn't, like he was one of those guys who was traded and then just as good on that second team.
Just an incredible player. And you know what? For all that you want to say about his takes as a broadcaster, the broadcast booth of him and Miller was something that we all grew up listening to and just iconic. Iconic. Oh,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, it made Sunday Night Baseball interesting and fun to listen to, even though he had really stupid takes about baseball. You know, he was really good at telling a story and really good at giving the insight of what it was like to be a player. For the most part, a good broadcaster.
Yeah, and those
and a good
yarns
foil
are
for
great.
Miller, right? Like, because their dynamic was a great one.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, 22-year career. I mean, that's and most of it, a lot of it was a peak there. I mean, you know, back-to-back MVPs And like you said, then he, you know, transitioned into the broadcast booth, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it's a huge loss there. But I mean, like you said, Brian, I mean, best second baseman ever.
Ever.
All right. Well, we'll tip our Astro. Well, I guess no. We'll tip Reds.
No, it's
Caps.
The Phillies. Well, yeah. No, the Reds. Yeah, for sure. The Reds. He was only 1 year with the Phillies.
Yeah. We'll tip a Reds cap. I was about to say Astros, but I know that Brian won't be owning one. But yeah, we'll pour one out for Joe Morgan. We'll be back next
week. The Colt 45s maybe? Maybe
I do have a 45s one.
There you go. You can do that.
I'll do that instead. We'll be back next week. Stick around here on 101.5 UMFM. And a quick announcement for those who listen to both this show and the Pity Party. Because of the Send and Receive Festival, Brian's show will only be on from 2 to 3 today. So
that's correct.
Just a heads up on that.
Send and Receive Festival is real good. So I really enjoy kind of giving my time over to them. It's awesome. It's good.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because of, you know, COVID numbers, no actual in-person festival. So
kind of
as the rest of 2020 is.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's why we can all watch baseball online or on TV and enjoy that. So
in the comfort and the safety of our homes, yes.
Awesome. Take care, everyone, and we'll be back next week here on the Bench Jockeys.
Play ball!
Strike 3, you're out!